All right, so there's quite a few people in this room that had a tough year, a difficult year, a trying year, a challenging year. Anybody have a miserable year? You had a miserable year. I'm glad you came here today. Amen. We want to get rid of that. We want to get rid of that. I want to share a word. I've shared it before, but the way in which I'm going to bring it across today is a little bit different. It comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 15. I'm going to read to you from verse 22. Then Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went into the desert of Shur. For 3 days they traveled in the desert without finding water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink its water because it was bitter. That is why the place is called Marah. So the people grumbled against Moses, saying, "What are we to drink?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. For there the Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. He said, "If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, and if you do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands, and if you keep all of his decrees, I will not bring upon you any of the diseases I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." Then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. Okay. You need to have just a little bit of background as to what happened before this passage of Scripture. The Israelites spent 400 years in Egypt. Can anybody tell me what were they when they were in Egypt? They were slaves. Okay, so they were forced to get up in the mornings. They were forced to work hard. They were given very little food. They had very little pleasure. They were tormented. They were shouted at. They were treated unkindly. They were abused. They did not have a very happy life. A little bit like some of us feels about the year that we have, but I must be honest, I think they had a much worse experience than what we had. Amen? So here's the thing. Israel was in slavery for a period of 400 years. But God, by his grace, decided to liberate them. Therefore, he raised up Moses, a man that was minding his own business in the desert, and the next moment he saw a burning bush. And if you take into account that back in the day there were no hallucinogenic drugs or anything weird, LSD was not invented yet, we have to accept that it was a real burning bush. Okay. And God revealed himself to Moses, and God said, "I'm sending you to go and liberate my people." God wanted something better for the Israelites than what they experienced at that point in time. I want you to look at your neighbor and say, God has better plans for your life. Now please look at your other neighbor as well and say, for you too.
For you too.
Amen. That's it. For you too. And for you and you and you and you. And for me too. Oh, I feel so loved now. Thank you. Amen. Praise God. Israel cried out for a long time. And I want to tell you, there was probably a lot of them that felt that God had forgotten about them. Probably there was a lot of them that felt that there was never going to be a change. Probably there was many of them that felt that this is just my lot in life. Things are never going to get any better. Things are never going to change for me. And I, you know what? I'm just going to be miserable for the rest of my life. None of the people that were in Israel at the time, suffering under slavery, knew that God had already set in motion a plan to deliver them. Sometimes we are still busy complaining when God's plan is almost in its fruition and deliverance is seconds or minutes away. And if we knew, we would stop complaining. But unfortunately, that's just the way human nature is. We like to complain. And if we knew what God was busy with, let me ask you this question. Put yourselves in the shoes of the Israelites. If they knew that God was busy raising up Moses, if they knew that God was putting his spirit in him, if they knew about the signs and the wonders, if they knew about the plagues that were coming, if they knew about the liberation, would they still complain? No, they wouldn't. But they didn't necessarily know. But please look at your neighbor and say, God is up to something. God is up to something. And you know what, down here, when we say somebody is up to something, we sort of mean it in a negative way, you know, like, but God is up to something good. Right now, your circumstances might not be perfect. Right now, your life might not be brilliant. But I want to tell you something. These things are written in the Word of God to show us how God is. This is the nature. This is the character. This is the heart of God. You must take into account God is a father. And a father cares for his children. And when you see that one of your children is suffering, you make a plan to do something to make it better. Is there anybody here that would see their children suffering or battling or going through hardship and not come up with some plan to make things better for them? Anybody here? Well, where did you get that from? Well, you got it from your Father. Your Father who art in heaven. So right now, I know that some of you are battling. I know that you didn't have a good year. I know that maybe you're not even looking forward to 2018 because your mind might be saying to you, man, if it's going to be the same as 2017, I'd rather just take a long vacation and never come back. But I want to say something to you. Israel waited for 400 years, but deliverance did come. Amen. And in your case, deliverance will come. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. That is true in the life of every child of God. So now here's the thing. The Israelites, they are in slavery. God appears to Moses. God begins to raise up Moses. And God has to first work with Moses. You see, here's the thing. Your breakthrough, your victory depends on certain things coming together. And you don't know where God is right now in the process of bringing things together. The problem with Moses was a leader, but he didn't realize it. And for the people to leave Egypt, they would need a leader to follow. Right now, Moses wants to be a follower. God needs to first create in him a leader. Moses is timid and shy. God needs to put boldness in him. It's part of the process, but the process, the wheel is turning. And you know what they say? Sometimes the wheel turns slow, but it's still turning. And I want to say something to you right now in your life. Maybe you feel like it's stopped. It hasn't stopped. It might just be turning a bit slower, but it's going to pick up speed. Very soon, God is going to do something for you because God always comes through for every single person. Amen. Amen. Now, God is preparing Moses, and eventually Moses gets to the place that he goes into Egypt and he goes and confronts his fears. What do I mean by that? Well, the reason Moses ran from Egypt is because he killed an Egyptian and there was a price on his head. And he didn't want to go back there. He stayed in the desert for 40 years because he was afraid to go back there. We don't know how long it took God to deal with Moses. The Bible doesn't give us a time frame there. Was it 10 years? Was it 5 years? Was it a week? Was it a month? My personal feeling is it was a couple of years. Because you don't get over your fears just boom, like that. Eventually, Moses comes to the place where he's willing to go back. He's seen the power of God. Now he has faith in his creator. He has faith in his maker. And he's willing to go back and confront his destiny. The same people that want to murder him, he goes and he confronts them. And he walks into Pharaoh's court and he says, "Let my people go." Guess what? Pharaoh never got the memo. The email got lost in transit. It's the new South Africa. They were striking. Nobody delivered nothing. So he didn't get the memo from God. And he's like all stubborn. I will not let anybody go. God comes through with signs and wonders and miracles and plagues and sickness and disease and the death of the firstborn. And eventually God, by the force of his mighty right hand, brings Pharaoh down. God, in a way, wants to show Pharaoh, because Pharaoh was deemed to be a god. The Egyptians, falling over my own tongue, the Egyptians worshipped him as a god. And God just needed to show him, you have no power. Full stop. The Israelites left. Now, I mean, how wonderful is it? After 400 years, you are liberated. After 400 years, you walk through the sea. Put yourself in that day. I don't know, you know, I've seen one or two movies where they try and replicate it, but we will never know exactly what happens. But the Bible says God separated the waters. And they walked through on dry ground. I mean, that's mind-blowing. Maybe there was walls of water on both sides. I don't know. I wasn't there. But I can tell you something. The people that saw this saw the raw power of God being made manifest. And they get to the other side. And it's a wonderful day. It's a day of joy. It's a day of celebration. Everybody's happy. Everybody's dancing. Everybody's excited. They are overflowing with thankfulness and praise to their Creator because they got to the other side. Now, here's the problem. The other side is a desert. And in the desert, you need what? You need water. Now, God speaks to Moses, and God says to Moses, Moses, this is how things are going to work. I'm going to take you to the promised land. God always has a plan. Look at your neighbor and say, God has a plan. Now look at your other neighbor and say, even if it doesn't make sense. You know, God's plans don't always make sense. But God sees things from a different perspective than what you do. Have you ever noticed this? There's a very interesting advertisement on television. It's one by ABSA. There's all these credit cards hanging. And then when you look at it from a certain angle, it's just like, looks like a whole big mess. It's just like cards everywhere. But as the camera turns and turns and turns and it catches it in just the right place, it forms the letters ABSA, ABSA. And then they put at the bottom, it's all about perspective. You know, that to me is how it is. God sees things from a perspective where everything about your life makes sense to him. We see it like from that side, and it's just like everything is just all over the place. Our perspective, we have to understand, and God's perspective is not the same. What to us is garbage, to God right now, from where he's standing, makes perfect sense. And it's for us to get to the place that we begin to see what God sees. And it's not that difficult. It takes a bit of faith. Sometimes it takes a leap of faith. Now the Israelites, they get to the other side. They have a big joy. They have a big party. Everybody's praising God. And then God says to Moses, this is what we're going to do. I'm taking you on a journey. The journey goes to the promised land. Follow me. One day into the desert, 2 days into the desert, 3 days into the desert, and guess what? There's no water. Now, the same people that saw the power of God, that saw signs and wonders and miracles, that saw the waters open, that saw the Egyptian army destroyed by God, boom, in a second, that experienced God's glory firsthand, what do they begin to do? They begin to grumble. They begin to complain. They begin to revolt. In fact, Moses needed bodyguards at that point in time because they want to stone him. They want to kill him. Because, you see, they can't get to God, but he represents God and everybody's angry at God. I want to ask you a question. Has God done anything wrong? God is honoring his promise, but it's all about perspective. Their perspective is God has forgotten about us. God's perspective is we're right on track. And this is where many times we miss it. Because we look at where we are right now. We do not go a bit back because we can't and see the big picture. And that's where faith comes in. My friend, if you've gone through the Bible and you've read the stories there, God always comes through. Come on, God always comes through. So why is he going to fail with you? Or why is he going to fail with you? Or why is he going to fail with you? and with you. Are you going to be God's first failure? This is where you go, uh-uh. Are you going to be God's first failure?
No way.
I like that. Are you going to be God's first failure? No. Listen to me very carefully. God doesn't fail. Our perspective sometimes is, oh, it's hopeless. Oh, God has failed. God doesn't fail. The problem is not with God. The problem is with your perspective. Our perspective is human. Our perspective is fallible. Most of us, in fact, probably everybody here, tends to expect the worst. Just raise your hands if you tend to expect the worst. Sometimes, yes. We expect the worst. Oh, it's going to be a disaster. Many times it turns out it's not a disaster, but it's like, oh, no. Our perspective is wrong. 3 days into the desert, they begin to revolt. They begin to perform. We've got no water. What are we going to do? But God is in charge and God is leading them. And guess what? Wonderful news. There's water. And you must understand, in the desert, you really do need water. It's not like they're complaining for nothing. You need water. Has anybody ever been in a desert? Okay, I've never been in a desert. I've been through the Karoo, and that's bad enough for me. But yeah. Have you ever been in a desert? What is it like? There's nothing, eh? It's like acres. I've seen a lot of TV, and you know, there's like acres of sand dunes, and there's just nothing happening there. And you can't survive without water. They come to a well. Actually, it was like a small dam. They come to this place of water. Maybe we can, in a sense, call it an oasis. And I can just picture this. They get there. The news spreads very quickly that there's water, and whoever still has the energy starts running. If back in the day your name was Usain Bolt, you were first at the water hole. You know, it's like, there you go. Go down on your knees, you start drinking the water, and instead of a big smile on your face, what happens? You know, you spit it all out. Why? Because the water is bitter. The word Mara actually means bitter. That's what it means. So God, in His wisdom, in His infinite wisdom, from His perspective, has taken them to exactly the right place, which is a place where the water is undrinkable. Hello? Now, why would God do that? Well, let's talk about that. Well, probably. Let me ask you a question. How many of you believe that you've dealt with your anger issues? Wait until God takes you tomorrow. How many of you believe you've got patience? Wait until God takes you tomorrow. How many of you believe that your personality has been tweaked by God and you're perfect now? Wait until God takes you tomorrow. The thing is, it's one thing with your words and your lips to say, you know what, I've dealt with this and I've dealt with that and I'm all right, you know? But sometimes God will test you to show you what's really going on in your heart. You see, the Israelites, they were happy. They were rejoicing the first day. By the third day, they wanted to kill Moses. What does that tell you about the Israelites? They needed a lot of work. Because you can't serve God and be that way, because God expects perfection. And I'm not saying that we're all going to be perfect, but God expects you to deal with your rubbish. God expects you to deal with your heart. God expects you to sort out your issues. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time to sort out your issues. I noticed that, Granny. It was like, man, I've been waiting to tell her this for such a long time. Okay. There's some people, yeah, you're afraid to tell your husband or your wife. Now the pastor told you to say so, so say so. It's time to sort out your issues. Amen. We have to. Now, if you asked the Israelites on the day that they just moved through the sea, And they were all happy and they were all blessed because remember, God made the Egyptians give them so much gold and silver that they could hardly carry it. They left on dry ground. They are prosperous to their teeth. They are blessed. Their tummies are full. They are happy. They are singing. They are dancing. If you asked any of them if they've got anything to complain about the first day, what would they say? No, the world is good. God is good. I am blessed. The second day, no. Everything is wonderful. Everything is perfect. The third day, don't talk to me. Get away from me. Isn't it amazing how, based on our experience, different things come out of us? But you see, that's wrong. Because the same thing should come out of us. Listen to me carefully. The same thing should be coming out of you. And that's where God wants to take us. Whether you have a good day or a bad day, living water should come out of you. Not bitter water. You see, there's only one well inside, or there should be only one well inside. It should be the wellspring of life. And streams of living water should be coming from us. And it shouldn't matter whether I had a good night's sleep or a bad night's sleep. It shouldn't matter whether the phone call I just got is good news or bad news. It shouldn't matter whether the stock price is up or down. It shouldn't matter what the petrol price is. It shouldn't matter what the taxi in front of me just did again. Hello? Why are you pulling that face? And your husband is sitting there like, He's like, oh, I'm so glad my wife came to listen to this sermon. But we're not there. And Israel wasn't there. And God needed to show them. Listen, yeah, half of Israel, in fact, probably 90% of Israel were all bipolar at that point in time. Because one day they were young, the next day they were there. And God says, hey, I can't take you to the promised land with this attitude. Because with an attitude like that, you won't appreciate the blessing that I have for you. You will curse what I've given you. Say again? No, there was no Valiums back in the day. There was only the Holy Spirit. And can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit still works. Much better than the Xanax and the Zorpex and the Valium and the whatever. And the Prozac. Yeah. Okay, so they get to this well. The first guy starts running. The second guy starts running. Pretty soon, there's a whole bunch of people around the water and everybody's all excited because there's water and they drink. And suddenly, everybody starts spitting it out. And they realize this water that they've been waiting for 3 days, that they've been grumbling and complaining about, is actually undrinkable. In fact, it can kill. Now, what is coming out of them? Give me a couple of things that came out of them. Okay, I don't know the swear words back in the day, but I'm telling you now, the F-bomb came out. Okay? And a whole bunch of other things came out of their lips. They were cursing, they were swearing, they were performing, they were threatening Moses. I can tell you now, there was a whole bunch of tantrums being thrown, not by 4-year-olds, but by 40-year-olds. And that's even worse. It brought out the worst in them. Their circumstances brought out the worst in them. Now, do you believe that God has something good for you?
Yes.
Do you truly believe that God has a promise for your life? Do you truly believe when the word of God says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future? All right, now here's the thing. It is true. But most people are already at their promise, but don't experience the benefit of the promise because of their attitude and because of their perspective. Listen to me carefully. Israel had already entered the promised land. They were already on their way. But they were still cursing what they experienced. Who's wrong? The people or God? I want to tell you something. God makes no mistakes. Where you are in your life right now is exactly where God wants you to be. The question is, have you learned the lessons God wanted you to learn? Because here's another an interesting thing about God. Sometimes He will keep you at the same place until you learn the lesson. And once you've learned the lesson, only then will God say, ah, it's time to move. The Israelites had a lot of lessons to learn. Now let's talk about the lessons that they had to learn. At the first sign of trouble, at the first sign of problems, at the first sign that things were not going their way, what did they do? They revolted against Moses, who represented God. So you can, by definition, say they revolted against God. It's like, we trusted you to go through the water, but we do not trust you to take care of us in the desert. If God can take them through the water, can He take care of them in the desert? Well, the Bible says, for God, nothing is impossible. And with all due respect to all the Israelites back in the day, they just saw that with their own two eyes. That's how deep the problems in their hearts went. You know, today a lot of people have never seen a miracle, but they still follow God. That's called faith. The Israelites needed to change. You see, I want to tell you something, and this is what I want to talk about today. God cannot give you something new until He helps you to get over something old. The Israelites were still stuck in Egypt. You know what they say? You can take the monkey out of the bush, but you can't take the bush out of the monkey. Well, that unfortunately is true about people as well. We can take you out of your circumstances, but your circumstances always tends to follow you. And the way you acted in those circumstances is the way you're going to act in your new circumstances. And the way you act will destroy your new circumstances. Do you know how many people are going to stand before God one day and complain bitterly that, oh, but you said that you had plans to prosper me, but I was never prosperous. And then God's going to say, ah, let me rewind the tape. Ah, there you were, starting your brand new job. The one that I blessed you with. My plans for you was to become the MD of the company. But because the guy stepped on your toe and you spit in his face, they fired you. Your temper cost you my blessing. The next one, we rewind the tape. There you are walking into another opportunity, but they took 5 minutes too long to help you. And you said, ah, stuff this. I don't have time for this. Your impatience cost you my blessing. And there you are. We fast forward the tape. This one just did this and that too wrong. And you turned around and you gave them a club. So they beat you up and you spent the last 6 months in hospital. Your violence cost you my blessing. I'm just giving you some examples. But this is where the Israelites were. You cannot experience the blessing of God as long as you got the rubbish of the wilderness inside of you. Did anybody here have a bad year? Come, just. Did anybody here face challenges? Let's not even talk about this year. Let's talk about your life. Has anybody in this place ever been? Has anybody have ever been rejected? Has anybody here ever faced major disappointment? Has anybody ever been hurt badly? Okay. How do you react when somebody hurts you? Ooh. At least you're honest.
I am honest.
At least you're honest. But here's the thing. That's why the Israelites were taken to Marah. Because there was a lot of things inside of them that were going to rob them of God's glory. That was going to rob them of God's provision. What was going to rob them of God's blessing in their future. And you know what? God wants you to have the benefit of His blessing. God wants you to have the benefit of prosperity. Godly prosperity. And that's why sometimes you can't move past where you are. Because if God moves you further with whatever's still inside of you, whatever you haven't dealt with, you will spit on what God has given you. And that God will not tolerate. I want to tell you something. The world is full of people that are stuck. They are not stuck because God doesn't care. They are not stuck because the devil is powerful. They are stuck because their hearts keep them stuck. And God cannot give you breakthrough until you learn the lessons God wants you to learn. Let's talk about one of the lessons that they had to learn. When you go down to scoop up water, what do you notice when you look? You notice a reflection. You see, the interesting thing with water, water is mirror-like, and it reflects light like a mirror. So when you go, especially if it's a clear water, and you look over it, you will see yourself looking back at you. There was a problem with this water. This water was poison. So the first guy that looked at an image of himself reflected through poison. What was God trying to talk to them about? There was a lot of poison in their hearts that needed to be dealt with, because what does poison do? You see, this poison doesn't just kill the people around you, it kills you too. It does kill sometimes the people around you. If the poison is bitterness, bitterness affects people around you. If the poison is anger, anger affects the people around you. If the poison is, name it whatever you want, hatred, resentment, unforgiveness, jealousy, envy, it affects everybody around you. It slowly kills them, but unfortunately, it kills you too. And what type of a God would we serve? If He takes you and puts you in His blessing, but He leaves you that way for you to curse His blessing. There are a lot of people in this world that do exactly that. It's not God's fault. They just don't want to learn the lessons that God wants to teach them. They don't want to deal with the stuff God wants them to deal with. 2018 is going to be a brand new year. Praise God. But until we let go of the things that we allowed into our heart in 2017, we will not have the blessing of God in 2018. And I'm not, for that I can add 2016, and I can add 2015, and I can add 2014, and I can add from birth. Because you see, here's the thing, and this is just the way life is. You've been hurt many times, right? You've been rejected many times, right? People have spoken badly about you. People have stabbed you in the back. People have abused you. People have lied about you. You were treated unkindly. Somebody was ugly to you. A lot of things have happened. Now, let's go back to the Israelites. Do you think the Israelites really understood and really realized just how bad they had become? Here's the thing with man. We never see the problem the way God sees the problem. To us, we're actually okay. To us, we're actually fine. To God, we're not. And God wants to get us to a place that we start dealing with things. I do believe that 2018 is, by the grace of God, destined to be a year of greatness, a year of victory, a year of life, a year of prosperity, a year of abundance. Amen. But now here's the thing. My question is simply this. How many people are truly going to experience that? Just because it's available doesn't mean you'll have it. For you to have it, you have to meet the conditions. The Israelites never truly dealt with their hearts. They never took possession of the promised land. Do you know that they took a tiny portion of what was available to them? Because on their journey, they rebelled against God. They were disobedient. They got angry. How many times did God kill like hordes of them in the desert? Because of their attitudes. There were some of them that never, ever, ever experienced God's promise. Not because God never meant it, because God, they never brought themselves to the place to receive it. You cannot enter into something new if you don't let go of something old. You know, here's an interesting thing about the Bible. The Bible is all about change. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven unless you become like a little child. You have to become like. You know why? Because most people are not. You know what the thing is with little children? How many four-year-olds walk around with grudges? How many four-year-olds are full of bitterness? How many four-year-olds are depressed? How many four-year-olds want to commit suicide? Oh. But 30-year-olds do, 40-year-olds do, 50-year-olds do. What does the Word of God say? We have to change. We have to change. Here's the thing. Life has changed you. God wants you to change back. Life made you angry. God wants you to go back to the I'm not angry place. Life made you impatient. God wants you to go back to the I'm not impatient place. Life made you fearful. God wants you to go back to the place where you're not fearful. Every child has a built-in fear of heights. They've proven scientifically that that's pretty much the only fear that we are born with, because when even like a small baby, when they begin to develop awareness, they cling. Why? God puts it there because they must know they need to hold on to their mommy so that they don't fall. It's to help the mother. But all other fears were brought by life, were brought by experience. And that fear does not equal a fear of heights. That is just that child has that they know, oh, I have to hold on. And the other fear that a child has is a fear of loud noises, which disappears as we get older. Those are the two fears that infants have. Your fear of failure did not come from God. Your fear of man did not come from God. Your fear of rejection did not come from God. Your fear of heights did not come from God. Your fear of flying did not come from God. Amen. Your temper did not come from God. Your bitterness did not come from God. Your violence did not come from God. These are the things God wants us to deal with. Because many times they are the things that rob us of the blessing of God. They rob us of experiencing God's promise. I want to ask you a question. How many of you have a promise or promises of God? Let's see. My personal opinion is everybody should be raising their hands, because you must have at least one or two promises of God. My question is, are you in a place where you can get to the promise? Because from hearing the word, when Moses spoke to them and said, get your stuff ready, we're going on a journey to the promised land, they didn't just appear in the promised land. It was a journey. And on the journey, there were many things that needed to be dealt with so that they could have the benefit of the promise, so that the promise could bless them. The Israelites failed to deal with things, and it cost them their promise. In fact, a whole generation died in the desert because of their bad attitude. They get to Bara. They go down on their knees. They start drinking the water. The water is bitter. Again, do you know what the first thing is that they want to do? They want to kill Moses because the water is bitter. It's like everybody revolts. And now, yeah, he needed danger pay on a daily basis. What was God showing them? They are full of rebellion. They are full of bitterness. They are full of anger. They are full of hatred. They are full of unforgiveness. They are full of impatience. They have no trust in God. Even though they walk through the seas with dry on dry land, even though they saw the greatest fighting force, the Egyptians, die in a second without them having to lift a finger, they could not trust God to provide for them. And unfortunately, with all due respect, there's some of you sitting here, you got exactly the same problem. You've seen the power of God in the past, but today it's like, oh, my situation is too bad. This is never going to come right. Says who? The same God that provided for you in the past can provide for you today. Amen. Probably some of you right now are stuck at Mara, whether you like it or not. Probably some of you, God is keeping you there because he wants you to recognize a couple of things inside here. And he wants you to deal with those things because God will not let you move on until you overcome the obstacles at Mara. I want to tell you something, maybe you don't realize it, but all of us are on a spiritual journey. Spiritually, we are on our way to the promised land. The promised land can be equal to your destiny, can be equal to the place of God's purpose for your life. We're not there, we're on our way there. And just like God had to deal with Israel on the way there, so God has to deal with you on the way there. Mara is a physical place, but it's also a spiritual place. And it's interesting for me. How's this? The very first place God took them to on their journey was Mara. Until you don't conquer Mara, you can't move on. Until you don't get past the bitter waters, you can't have the sweet waters. You see, here's the thing. Listen to this. The Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. Oh, look at your neighbor and say, I'm being tested. Oh, I'm being tested. Yeah. I don't care who you are. You are being tested. And here's the thing, and I've said this many times, but I have to keep telling it. Until you don't start passing God's tests, don't expect promotion. There's no promotion till you pass the test. Georgie, you were at school, yeah, weren't you? Yes. If I had some of your teachers, yeah, they would have interesting stories to tell. I'm sure. Now, you remember that you came here and it wasn't always easy, was it? I mean, sometimes it was difficult. I mean, you went to school with people like Fernando. How bad can it get? I mean, really? Fernando's not here. Now, do you remember the exam time? You were one of those oaks you never studied, did you? Aye. All the secrets are coming out now. What are you laughing at the back there? I should have called you forward. When I said you never studied, your mom would jump up and say, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mr. Dino. The thing is, we all went through tests when we went to school. They were never nice, but they were necessary. You know, the Bible says, study to show yourselves approved. Even God expects us to study. Study teaches you something. What God is really saying is, be taught and you will be approved. Many times God wants to teach us something. Sometimes he talks to us through our circumstances. Yeah, God was talking to the Israelites through their circumstances. You got to change if you want promotion. I'm going to read it again. The Lord made a decree and a law for them, and there he tested them. You know the plans that God has for you? You know the prosperity that is there? It's available. Now look at your neighbor and say, if you pass the test.
If you pass the test. Yeah, if you pass the test.
It's true for all of us. It's true for every man, every woman, and every child. And I want to say something to you. You know, my personal opinion is maybe 90% of the earth's population will stand before God one day and he'll say to them, listen, yeah, you failed the first test 1,000 times. But let me show you, if you had passed the first test, what was going to come next. There was going to be many more tests, but the promotion would have been this. And then this test was going to come and the promotion would have been that. Thing is, no test is nice. No test is pleasant. It's difficult to go through tests. But there's always a reward at the end of the test if you pass. The question is, are we passing? Or are we failing? Because the thing is, if you don't like the test that you keep rewriting, God is not going to change the test. God wants you to start passing. You got to come to a place in your life that you begin to pass the test. What is it that's causing you to fail the test? I don't know. Is it your rebellion? Is it your anger? Is it your fear? Is it your low self-esteem? Well, you got to deal with it. You got to deal with what is in your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Georgie, you don't like where you are right now. I heard a little birdie tweet. But you got to pass the test if you want to move on. Who else is here that doesn't like exactly where they are right now? Well, guess what? You're busy writing a test. Maybe the exam is longer than you thought. Maybe there's a whole bunch of questions that you didn't like. But guess what? Until you don't start passing, you don't get to see the other side. And I want to say something. You can't sit next to your buddy and say, just lift your arm a little bit. You can't write things on the bottom of your shoe and just like, you know? You can't do that. Yes. It is. Well, she's right. This is an open book test because you get the answers every Sunday. You might not apply them. And you don't have to wait for Sunday. You can go during the week and you can cribber, but you can read the answers. It's all, yeah. The question is, how do we apply it? You know, the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of people that know the truth. They just don't do what the truth tells them to do. Now, Moses went on his knees and he prayed. He said, Lord, please, these people, there's a revolt going on. They want to stone me. They want to kill me. I don't know what to do with myself anymore. If you don't help me, I don't know what's going to happen. And God said to him, Moses, calm down to steady panic. Do you see that tree over there? Moses says, yes, Lord, it's the only tree for like 1,000 miles and it's been dead for donkey's years. This is a desert, by the way. He said, take it and throw it in the water. So there goes Moses with big fanfare. Guys, God just spoke to me. There is a solution. Now you must understand. These people have seen God part the seas. They saw the plagues. I'm sure everybody was expecting something wow, like a lightning bolt coming down and zapping the water, or the waters just like going up into this big fountain and all sorts of amazing things happening. And yeah, Moses goes, puts the tree in the water. He says, job done. And then what happened? Nothing happened because nobody trusted him. It was like, what, you must be mad. No, that didn't work. I can tell you now, my personal opinion, who was the first one to drink the water? Well, nobody else was going to take a chance. Like, Moses, you drink the water. I'm not going to drink. You go drink the water. Now Moses is like, oh God, you better be right. But he drinks the water, and then now he sits there and everybody sits there watching him. Hey guys, it's been 2 hours. He's not dead yet. Oh guys, it's been a day. All right, let's go. Yeah. God made the bitter water sweet. Okay, there's a lot of spiritual significance to what happened here. I want to say to you, the Israelites wanted the blessing. But they didn't realize it would be a journey to get to the blessing. Everybody here, you want the blessing. Probably you never realized it's going to be a journey. You know, can I tell you where a lot of people make a big mistake? I'm not being disrespectful, I'm just being practical. Don't go tell people accept God and everything in your life is going to be perfect. Because you will disillusion them very quickly. There's no promise like that in the Bible. In fact, the Bible says in this world we will have troubles. Amen. Jesus says there will be storms. Bad things are going to happen many times. The Israelites here, under God's guidance, were taken into a desert. Under God's guidance, were taken to a pit of poison. But God expected them to learn something from that. Because the lessons we get taught by God equip us and educate us to go further. Sometimes we don't want to learn that lesson. Sometimes we revolt. Sometimes we complain. Sometimes we perform. But I want to tell you something. The questions are not going to change. The challenges are not going to change till you change. You want to start passing the test? God will not change. You better change. The way you react to things must change. What you've allowed in your heart, you must let it go. You know, let's say, just for argument's sake, somebody really treated you bad. It's easy to say, I forgive them. But what's going to happen when God tests you? Will the anger come back? The hatred come back? Well, then you haven't dealt with it. Amen? It's easy to say, oh, you know what? I don't have a problem with fear anymore. Well, nobody has a problem with fear if there's nothing to be afraid of. But what's going to happen when God puts you in a situation where there is something really big to be afraid of? Are you going to fall apart or have you truly dealt with it? Only God knows. But the fact is, yeah, at Mara, God wants us to deal with our hearts. Again, today, God wants you to deal with your heart. Because the thing is, 2018, I believe God wants to bless everybody here. But if you go into 2018 with the same attitude and the same issues that you had in 2017, you will repeat the same failures. And you don't need to fail again. Please raise your hands if you're tired of failing. Amen. No more failures. We need to let it go. Say again. No more? Oh, no more quitters. Now, then they came to Elim, where there were 12 springs and 70 palm trees, and they camped there near the water. The first water that God took them to was poisonous. But just before they went to Elim, listen to this. Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. He threw it into the water, and the water became sweet. There the Lord made a decree and a law for them. There he tested them and he said, if you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God, and if you pay attention to his commands, and if you keep all of his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Do you need healing? Can I tell you where most people need healing? It's not in their bodies. It's in their mind. And in their heart. But first in their heart. You know, a lot of the sickness and the infirmity and the disease that we battle with is simply a spiritual condition reflecting your heart. And God wants you to deal with it. And I want you to notice, it was at Mara where you confront what is in you that God says, I am your healer. There's no healing for people that will not confront what's here. There is no healing for people that refuse to pass the test. But the healing comes when you move on from Mara. When you allow God to make the bitter water sweet. What is in the bitter water? Give me a couple of things that is in the bitter water. Temper, cursing, gossiping. Okay, let's make a list. Let's make a list. Anger is in the bitterness. It's a poison. A lot of people. I was sharing with somebody the other day. We were talking about anger. We were talking about temper. There was a guy at school with me. He was a fairly nice guy, extremely charismatic. He had a way with girls like you cannot believe. He could have any girl he wanted. They used to follow him like a posse. If he was an Arab, he had a harem, I can tell you right now. There was like 100 of them, just like they were all there. He was a very charismatic guy, and he actually had a very nice personality, but he had a temper like that. And he used to like to fight. Many times at school when there were fights, he was the guy on the other side. There was some other poor little schmuck that was going to get beaten up, but he was there fighting. And he used to like to fight. And sometimes he had this attitude when he felt like it was like, "Wat kyk jy?" You know, like, "What you looking at?" He would like to sometimes provoke a fight. And he was very good at fighting. I never saw anybody beat him up. He beat up everybody. The problem is, what he thought was working for him was actually working against him. Because you see, the first year out of matric, he still had his temper and now he had a gun. So a guy drove erratically or something, apparently nearly hit him. And he pulled in front of the guy and he challenged the guy. And he pulled his gun. Thing is, the other guy also had a gun. And he died that day. The guy shot him. Yes. He died at the ripe age of 19. What took his life? His temper and his anger. His impatience, because he had all of those. And I want to tell you something. God is my witness. I do not believe it was his time to die. I believe a problem in him allowed the enemy to take his life. And the thing is, how many people have lost their life or lost an opportunity, a godly opportunity, not because God didn't give it, but because something in you stopped it from coming to pass. You know, there's a lot of people that complain they don't have this, they don't have that. Probably it's right around you, but because of what's in your heart, you can't have it. Then it's time to deal with it. Because I want to tell you something. The bitter things in us work against us, not for us. And it gives the devil power. The devil knows where to touch to cause a problem. The devil knew with this young man, if I keep touching in the area of temper, he will give me his life. And he did. He gave him his life. There was another guy with me at school. Was a very nice guy. Was a bit weird. Was a bit controversial. Back in the day, he was part of the punk movement. He used to listen to The Cure and what was those other, like, really? What? The Doors. No, he wasn't into Iron Maiden. He was like into like the black stuff. He was like a bit gothic. Yeah, today we would classify him as gothic. But he was actually a nice guy. But unfortunately, he also took some drugs. And he used to, I think the darkness in his personality came from the drugs. And in our matric year, he overdosed at the age of 18. I'm sure there was a couple of things in his heart that needed to be dealt with, but they were never dealt with. Probably he never understood it as well. Point I'm trying to make is you can't live with this rubbish inside of you because it'll take your life. Whether it takes your life physically or it kills you spiritually, it's going to destroy you. It gives the devil power. And unfortunately, it'll always do that. But it doesn't have to stay that way. God wants to make the bitter water sweet. But in our case, God is not just going to put a piece of wood in your heart. God wants you to humble yourself. God wants you to come to a place where you say, "Lord, I realize and I understand I keep failing the same test. I realize that I get upset because I'm not moving on, but it's not your fault, it's me. I'm the one that keeps myself stuck here. Lord, I want to pass the test. I want to lay down all this rubbish. Let's call it bitterness. Again, what is in bitterness? Anger, temper, impatience, fear, rejection, anxiety, panic, worry, stress, apprehension, addiction, lies, jealousy, envy, hatred, dissension, division. There's a big list. Yes. Come. He wants to give a testimony about Mara. Come.
Guys, how's it? I just want to testify about something that this last week I've been talking to God and asking God. And well, the last couple of weeks since I've been working full-time, 7 days a week, you know, this scripture Rion's busy preaching on, he gave it to me for my business 2 years ago. Because when we had to change our business name, we actually changed it to Elam. And things happened where things went all cockeye and went through a whole lot of problems. And I landed up working for now where I'm working now. And many times God spoke to me and said, well, through Rion and through Fatima, and that, and said, your blessing is around you, in front of you. And I was searching everywhere else. But now that I started working 7 days a week, and I started realizing, I said, God, can this be what you want for me? Everything I've conquered in my life is just to work for a boss. I can't understand this. And I started dealing and speaking to God, and it's like I looked around and I said, wow, the blessing was the company. What I was doing, my work, what I was doing was the blessing. Where I am is in the prison. And I realized that I have to go back to where my blessing is, because that is where I'm going to have the victory. That is where I'm going to come out of Mara.
Can I say something quickly? Just stand here. Do you remember when I started, I spoke about the Absa ad? When all these credit cards are hanging, and when you look at it from this side, it looks like everything is garbled. But it has to do with perspective. If you just look at it from the other side. Now, to me, that's exactly what you're saying. You looked at what you had. And you saw it garbled. But God looked at it from the other side, and God said, this is your blessing. God wanted to change your perspective, and he has.
Yeah, I want to say something. Every time we prayed with you, it came to the same thing.
Your blessing is around you. It's around you. And now when I look back and I'm looking at it and I say, wow, this is what I'm meant to be. And you know what? Many times the word was given from the prison to the palace. And I'm not going to say much, but there is a door that's taking me to the palace. That's what I have to say.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So, I do believe God wants to bless you abundantly in 2018. But I think some of us need to change our perspective. Some of us need to ask God to help us to see things His way. And I want to say something to you. There was a time where Georgie was very upset about the cards that he was dealt in a sort of way. He couldn't see how that can be. But today, you see that it was actually the blessing. Probably there's some of you, you got the same thing. I don't know. And probably it's time to let certain things go, because it poisons your life. Anybody here want to stop writing the same test?
Yo, yes, right today.
Do you want to stop writing the same test?
Yes.
Then it's time to change. Listen to me. You cannot stop writing the same test if you're not willing to change. You got to change. Yes. Amen?
Amen.
Did anybody learn something?
Amen.
Give the Lord a big hand. Now, okay, let's do that first, and then we'll go further. Yeah. Can I order a cup of coffee, please? Thank you. Put a GTI hat on, then it'll come quicker. Do you want to say something? Yes, come say it in front here. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm glad you liked it. Is it a rude awakening? Okay. But a good awakening. Praise God. Amen. Hey, Mr. Muhammad. How's it? You're looking very cool today, eh? Very nice. It's an old friend that dropped by.
It's my ex-husband.
There we go. Now you all know. But it's nice to see you again. Hey, you must come visit again. And I see he's rocking that fedora there. He's like looking very chic. Very nice. I'm telling you. Wait.
Is anybody that needs a seed?
Is there anybody that needs a seed?
All
right, just wait. Yes, I mean, yeah. I don't know how many people are here. They should. If there's not enough, I'll give you more.
Anybody in the site?
Thank you.